Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. We are live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. as we are Monday through Friday, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. on your overnight dial. Nick DiGilio on WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can also send your texts to 312-981-7200. All right. I know a lot of people who are listening right now are fans of Discovery Channel's Gold Rush, and their two-hour season finale airs later tonight, Friday, March 6th at 8 p.m. with a special pre-show called The Dirt, which starts at 7. Yeah! So make sure you tune in for that. Well, my guest is Dave Turn, who is one of the stars of Discovery Channel's Gold Rush, and we welcome Dave to the show. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Nick.
How are you, man?
I'm good. Really good. Having a good off season.
Yeah.
Kind of excited about the finale tomorrow night.
When is the season? Tell everybody about when the actual season is.
I'll be heading up 1st of April, and then we'll stay up there for close to 6 months. We'll leave out of there beginning of October. It's just too cold in the wintertime. You know, we're 200 miles south of the Arctic Circle where we mine.
Wow.
So it's cold. It's cold.
Wow. Well, tell me about how you got involved in this business, Dave.
Well, my background is I'm from a family business, rock quarry, asphalt paving, road building. And Todd Hoffman was a friend of mine from church, and he came to me and he says, "Hey, Dave, I'm going to go gold mining. Could you look at my wash plant?" And I went and looked at his wash plant, and it wasn't very good. It was held together with pop cans and string and baling wire, and I didn't want to dash the poor guy's hopes, but I was like, man, I don't think this thing's going to do any good. And then I'm kind of helping him learn how to mine. He didn't know a whole lot about moving rocks and screening and move dirt and stuff. So I brought him up to our quarry, family business, and kind of showed him some of the ropes. And as I'm doing this, he says, "Oh, by the way," he goes, "I'm trying to do a TV show." And I was like, "Oh, you're going to do a TV show. Okay, we'll see." And I really didn't think, you know, anything would happen with this TV show. And then as I was showing him and teaching him, we did some wiring. We helped him with his pumps. We tried out some of his equipment at our quarry. He kept telling me, he goes, "I'm getting closer to this TV deal." I'm like, "Really? You're really going to do a TV show?" And then in May that first year, it was actually about 6 years ago, off they went, and I didn't pay much attention to it. It's like, that sounds like a lot of fun, you know, go to Alaska, up north, there's gold mining. And it was really something that kind of got my soul. It was like, oh, wow, I'd really like to go share that adventure, you know, in the last frontier. So off he went, and he calls me 2 months later, about the middle of June, towards the end of June, and he goes, "You need to come up here, man." He goes, "I cannot get my wash plant one." So I was like, okay. And I went up that first year I was going up for 7 days. It ended up being 10 days. Worked our butts off, got his wash plant up and going. Oh, and then when I show up, it's the first time I realize that this TV show is going to happen. I get off the plane in Haines, Alaska, and there's a camera guy and a producer and a sound guy. I'm like, holy smokes, he did it. He got this on TV.
Yeah.
And that's how we got started, and off we went.
Season five. Isn't that unbelievable?
It is unbelievable. I was talking to somebody the other day, I'm involved in the mining. I love to mine. But this guy was on the TV side of it, and he goes, "Do you realize that to get a TV show started and to go as long, it's one in a million. It's one in a million shot." And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's incredible. Because I'm in the middle of it, and all I want to do is mine. But then you look at how successful this show has become. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's crazy. I'm the popularity of it. Here's the thing, you know, like we've had you on before, and I wanted to ask again that I think a lot of people, when they think of mining for gold, they don't think of you know, freezing temperatures and south of the Arctic Circle. I think a lot of people have sort of the old fashioned notion. You know, you see the guys with the hats and the big beards, and they're holding a tray and they're shaking it.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what, you know, when I think of mining for gold, I think of the old dudes like that, you know?
Yeah.
And just tell everybody a little bit about how this situation works, where you guys do it.
Well, we've come a long ways. You know, it's still basically the same premise as what they were doing 125 years ago.
Yeah.
The last big gold rush is where we are mining now. And so those guys went up there, you know, with whatever donkeys or mules or
yeah.
horses, whatever they could find.
Whatever Walter Brennan could bring with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And what they had to do is to dig through this permafrost, they would start fires, and they'd melt down 2 or 3 feet, and then they'd dig that out. Then they'd melt down, start another fire the next day, melt down another 3 feet, and they would do this for weeks on time and just back-breaking labor. Now, you go fast forward to 2015, man, we got big equipment, and we've got, you know, modern technology. We got computers. We got all that. But it's still man against nature.
Yeah.
Nature up there is unforgiving, and in the end, the climate, the cold, wins out. That's why we basically have, if we're lucky, we can have a, you know, a decent four-month sluicing period. There's usually a month or two in preparation when things are still frozen, and then we'll start in June and hopefully sluice all the way through September. But towards the end of September, it starts getting cold, and you get pushed out.
Mm. Now, how
we're using big equipment, big earth-moving techniques, and sluice boxes. But the basics to gold, capturing gold, is still the way it was, you know, 125 years ago.
Yeah.
You use water and gravity. Gold is 19 times heavier than, you know, your gravel and stuff, and so it wants to go down and settle. So that's how we use gravity to our advantage, and that's how we capture the gold.
How was it discovered, though, that the area that you guys work in, you know, south of the Arctic Circle, the Klondike, was rich with gold? How long ago was that discovered? Was it many, many, many years ago?
I think it was 1898. Mm-hmm. There was a guy named George Carmax, and he had a partner, and they were from the First Nations. So one guy was First Nations, which is their, what we would call our American Indian. So they were native indigenous people, and he was walking up the creek. I love history of that area. He was walking up the creek, looked down, and saw something gold. And so he claimed that area, him and his partner.
Wow.
And off it went. And then what happened was news got out because we were going through some difficult, you know, economic times back then, and off there it started was the gold rush of 1898, and that was the last big gold rush, because what happened is they went from, you know, the 49ers, 1849 in
yeah.
San Francisco.
Yeah,
a lot of those guys that didn't strike it rich, you know, they busted up there when they heard there was another gold rush. So it was a lot of the same guys, you know, searching for a fortune, and it's so similar today. I think, you know, I'll sit in my excavator or my dozer, and I'll just think back on the number of men that have come up there in search of gold and, you know, and their fortunes. And I'm one of those guys. It sends chills up and down my neck at times, you know, when I think of all the guys that have gone before me that have done exactly what I'm doing. It is, there's not much better feeling than when you bust your butt, dig up the ground with guys that you're living with and working with and toiling, and you never know what's going to show up in the sluice box. But then you walk over the sluice box at the end of the day and you see this whole thing just lit up with gold. Yeah. Let me tell you, man, there's not much better in life than seeing a bunch of gold in your sluice box after you busted your butt.
I bet. How do you get on with the other guys, with Parker and Todd and Tony and those guys?
Todd is a good friend. Tony and Parker, I don't see much. Now, those guys, Parker isn't, and actually Parker and Tony are not that far away, but as the road system is up there, I mean, they're probably 15 to 20 miles as the crow flies, but it's literally about 2.5 hours to get over to their claim. And honestly, we didn't have enough time to go socialize. We were in the middle of, you know, pulling gold out of the ground. I run into Tony and Parker occasionally in Dawson City in town, and, you know, we're friendly. We have that common grounds of gold mining, digging up the ground. So, you know, it'd be like you talking to another, you know, radio host.
Yeah.
It's what we do, and we have things in common. And so, yeah, we're friendly.
Well, Parker's a kid. Have you...
Yeah, he's a kid.
He's a kid. How does that affect how people feel about him?
Oh, a lot of people are jealous of Parker. You know, when somebody has that much success. Let me tell you a little story about Parker. First time I met him, season one, right? I'm going up there to help Todd. And Todd, so we're looking for some steel, and Todd goes, hey, we need to go over to the Schnabel's mine, with a big nugget mine across the creek, and get some steel. I'm like, all right, let's go. So we drive over into their mine, and he's got this pile of stacked and split firewood. This thing is huge. It's got to be two stories high, and it's probably, I'm serious, man, it's half a block long.
Okay.
And it's all stacked split firewood. And I looked at Todd. I go, what's that? He goes, that's Parker Schnabel's. That's what his job is in the off season. He started this firewood business. Now think about this. The kid's 15 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And he probably did, I don't know, a couple $100,000 in firewood. And I'm thinking to myself, that kid is pretty smart.
Yeah.
He's going to go somewhere. So that was the first time I met Parker. And as you can see, Parker is a good businessman.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to talk more about the big 2-hour season finale, which airs later tonight, Friday, March 6th, 8 o'clock. Then there's a pre-show called The Dirt. Dave Turn is with us, one of the stars of Discovery Channel's Gold Rush. Dave, hang on, okay?
Okay, I'm here.
Right. Let's take a quick break here on 720 WGN and Discovery Channel's Gold Rush. The 2-hour season finale airs later tonight, Friday, March 6th, 8 o'clock. And the pre-show is The Dirt, starting at 7, right here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. The 2-hour season finale airs later tonight, Friday, March 6th, 8 o'clock, and there's a pre-show at called The Dirt, which starts at 7, and I'm talking, of course, of Discovery Channel's Gold Rush. Dave Turn, one of the stars of the show, is with us. Dave, welcome back.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me, by the way. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Now, you know, when people watch, you know, reality shows, some there's always like a question of whether, you know, like what's real and what isn't and how much
sure.
of it, you know, so the question that I always try to ask whenever I have someone who's been on a reality show or part of a reality show is how much of it is real? You know, like how genuine is it when people are watching, when people are watching Gold Rush?
Well, I get asked that a lot. That's a good question. And here's how I explain it. Every morning, we get up with our guys, right? And I pretty much know from the night before, because I'm kind of the planner, I'm kind of the mind boss, I'm kind of the guy that directs everybody. So in the morning, I get up and I go, okay, Todd, Jack, whatever, you're over here. Thurber, you know, Kevin, you guys are over here. This is what we're going to do. And the camera guys are there. So one of the producers is there, and one of his assistants, and I'm laying out the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, this is what we're doing. Grab your cameras. Let's go. Now, what happens, though, is a lot of times if something happens, everything that you see in the show happens organically, but it doesn't always get captured on the camera.
Okay.
So, for instance, if I break a truck at 3 o'clock in the morning and there's not a camera guy there, they show up the next morning and they go, why isn't that truck running? Well, it broke last night and you didn't capture it on TV. So then we have to, I'll have to try to, you know, they have to figure out a way to tell that story of why that truck broke. So we might do a scene where I'm talking to Todd and say, hey, last night, you know, the truck broke. We lost, you know, a rear end, and that's why it's broke. So a lot of times, so it's not scripted. It's not produced. It everything we do happens organically.
Yeah.
But we have to tell that story to the audience so that they understand, you know, some of the things we do that make sense to me, but it doesn't necessarily make sense to that guy sitting on his couch watching the show.
Because
he's going, wait a minute, they were there yesterday. Why aren't they there today?
Got it.
We have to try to, you know, explain that story and why we do certain things. Because they want to know. Well, the audience wants to know why we do certain things. And, you know, because a lot of times it doesn't make sense to them. So that's what we have to build and tell that story.
Do you watch the show, Dave? And if you do, are you comfortable with it? Do you like the way that you're portrayed on it?
I do watch the show. I do like the way I'm portrayed. There's some things that I've done on the show that's very embarrassing. I've got anger issues. I've got a temper.
Yep.
And honestly, they capture that. And the TV guys like it. I hate it personally.
Yeah.
But it really is life. Now, I don't know what other reality shows do and how they work, but I do know that our show is real. Because when I smash my thumb with a hammer, let me tell you something. There's going to be a few bleeps, okay?
Right.
And that's men. That's men when they're working.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah. So the two-hour season finale airs later tonight, Friday, March 6th, 8 o'clock. Tell me about what's going to happen on The Dirt, the pre-show at 7 o'clock.
Well, The Dirt, it brings in a different perspective. So what we're trying to do is bring out, you know, some of the intricacies or the nuances of the show that you don't see in the show. Because let me tell you how much they film. So for every, I guess it's hour on the TV, they're recording almost, I think somebody told me, 150 to 200 hours of footage. So all the cameras throughout the claims, and now they're sifting through all this, and then they make 1 hour show. Well, they miss a lot, and so we can bring in perspective on The Dirt. We can look at the scene and go, oh, yeah, well, the reason we did that is because, you know, it was too much water in this case.
Oh.
We can explain some things. And then the other thing that comes out is a lot of time our personalities. You know, we're all a bunch of funny guys. I mean, at least I think I'm funny. Sometimes my wife doesn't think I'm so funny, but
right.
You know, but it's kind of fun because we can relax when we're on the site and we're mining. It's tense. You know, we've got our game face on, and a lot of times you don't see the person side of us.
Right.
And in The Dirt, it's more relaxed. We can joke. We can have fun.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and that's what they try to show is the personal side of us and the mining, and sometime camp life with our wives, with our kids that are in camp, things like that.
Oh, that's cool. That's fun. That's fun. All right, so the pre-show is The Dirt, and it'll be at 7 o'clock later tonight on Friday, and then followed by the two-hour season finale of Gold Rush. Dave Turin has joined us to give us some insight and to talk a little bit about Gold Rush. Congratulations on the success, Dave, on season five. Pleasure to have you back on the show.
Yep, there's going to be some good stuff. Tell everybody to tune in. There's some things that happened at the end of the season that we weren't prepared and hit us upside the head like a ton of bricks, man. There's some crazy stuff that we didn't expect at the end of the season. So, and at the end of the season, everybody's stressed because it's like it's time to go home. It's getting cold. Winter's setting in. Everything's freezing up, and we're ready to go. And then we get smashed upside the head by some things that happen. You got to watch it. It's going to be good.
Cool. Discovery Channel's Gold Rush airs later tonight, the big two-hour season finale on Friday, March 6th, and then The Dirt, the pre-show at 7 o'clock. Dave, a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks again, Nick.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Okay.
There
Bye.
You go. That's Dave Turin, one of the stars of Discovery Channel's Gold Rush. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN.